The book of Romans, chapter 8, the epistle passage we read this morning is undoubtedly the greatest chapter in Paul's letter to the Romans. It was a German Christian who said, if the whole Bible is a ring, then St. Paul's letter to the Romans is the precious stone upon the ring. And chapter 8 of that letter to the Romans is the sparkling point of the jewel. That's certainly a beautiful way of putting it. We cannot fully understand or appreciate the beauty of chapter 8 of the book of Romans unless we understand chapter 7. Because chapter 8 is the answer to the problems posed in chapter 7. Paul is giving us the answer to the hopeless situation he described in Romans chapter 7. Remember, we read from chapter 7 the Sunday before last, where Paul says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to, but I do the very thing I hate. So on and so forth. In chapter 7, St. Paul says that the only way to get out from the Old Testament law is through death. That's certainly not the best option. Chapter 8 is very different, very, very different from chapter 7. One biblical scholar puts it this way, while contrasting chapter 7 and with chapter 8. It's like coming from the valley bottom to the mountain top. It's like coming out of prison into the blinding light of liberty. For in chapter 7 we have a man in defeat, in chapter 8 a man in victory. In chapter 7 you saw a man in despair, in chapter 8 you have a word of hope repeated again and again. In chapter 7, you got a wretched, unhappy man, but in chapter 8, you have a man who can hardly stop rejoicing. Now, why do we have this in our lectionary reading? Because God wants every one of us, every Christian, to live in chapter 8 of the book of Romans. Chapter 8 of the book of Romans has words that contain God's desire for each one of us. The words are to breathe a new life into us through a divine promise that just waiting to be claimed. Romans chapter 7 is all about what happens when we try to live life by ourselves. Interestingly enough, the whole chapter is full of words like I, my, me. And then we come to the Romans chapter 8, and there is a huge change, because in Romans chapter 8, those words have gone away and the Holy Spirit shows up in Romans chapter 8. 19 times. And the Holy Spirit enables us to have a relationship with God the Father. The Spirit does not enslave us or frighten us with threats of condemnation, but gives us a secure membership in God's family. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. A cluster of words from the realm of family has St. Paul described the freedom that believers have in Christ and the relationships in which they now find themselves. Abba, Father, children, adoption, heirs, joint heirs, I don't have time to explain the adoption system in the Romans or during Romans time, but it is beautiful. You have all the benefits and all the inheritance which the other children have if you are an adopted child. Then in Romans chapter 8, Paul uses the words for son and child to refer not to Jesus, but to his siblings who are led by the Spirit. As flesh has had referred to a power that enslaves humans and keeps them from participating in God's glory, the Spirit is the power that frees and enlivens humans for a new identity as children of God. Our text says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Knowing God's will and God's plan is only possible if we are led by His Spirit. But that Spirit not only leads us to know God's will, the Spirit enables us to do God's will. In our Gospel this morning, Jesus tells a second parable in chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel about sowing seeds, this time about two sowers. One who sows good seed to grow wheat, and the enemy who sows weeds among the wheat. For this parable too, Jesus offers an allegorical interpretation to his disciples in private. In the clearest of terms, Jesus tells his disciples what almost every element of the parable represents. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, obviously Jesus Christ. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. While some readily divide the world neatly into Christians, the righteous, and non-Christians, evildoers. Both the gospel and our experience tell us that such categories are few, coexistent, and difficult to discern at best. Most of us, including churchgoers, comprise both plant types and are not purely one or the other. In chapter 7:12, of the same Gospel of Matthew, verse 50, Jesus declared his family to comprise those who do the will of my Father in heaven. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He enables us to do God's will if we are willing. And it seems the separation between the wheat and the weeds is not as clear-cut or black and white as Facebook, the media, and our personal opinions would often have us believe. In any event, we are not the ones to make that judgment. We are not the ones to uproot those we see as weeds. Instead, we are called to share the love of Christ even with our enemies. Jesus is clear about that. There is a huge expectation from the children of God, from each one of us. The Bible says that those who have been given many gifts are to use them to help others before the Master returns. And we know that His return is certain, that He is going to come back. We are called to serve the Spirit, not the flesh. We are commanded to serve God, not self. We are commanded to resist sin and to put misdeeds to death. If you are a believer in God, friends, if you are a believer in God, or someone who is open to that option, let me firmly say, God is a purposeful God. He created us for a reason. Scripture teaches us that. It's so we can become adopted as His children. This is true whether you are born rich or poor, black or white, brown or purple. Long before you were conceived by your parents, you are conceived in the mind of God. Isaiah chapter 44 verse 2 says, I am your creator, you are in my care even before you were born. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. God has called each one of us. And God has chosen us for a purpose, to do His will. And He wants us to be fruitful. But that is only possible through His Spirit, who enables us to do His will. We are debtors, therefore, not to the flesh. We cannot live according to the flesh. Now here, I wish I had time. Flesh doesn't mean the skin on our bones. Flesh includes our mind, our thoughts, our will. And obviously we are in debt to Christ who died on the cross for us. We are in debt to the Spirit who gave life to us when we were dead in our sins. Scripture says, God demonstrates His love towards us. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our status is in Christ and in the Spirit when we set our minds on things of the Spirit. Those who are in Christ must live as those who are His. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.